Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our podcast, Our Two Cents Let's Chat. I'm like the first time I recorded this, this time I did not forget the name of our podcast. Thank God. So yeah, it's actually been a minute since we've put out an episode. I think by the time this episode comes out, it will have actually been 3 months since we put out our last one, which was regarding the conflict in Ukraine. And while we're talking about that, I just want to say, even though the conversations regarding Ukraine have sort of hit the sidelines the past couple of months, a resolution definitely has not been reached regarding the war that's going on. And I definitely want to encourage everyone to go and give that episode a listen, because all the AdSense for that is going to the Ukraine Hospital Relief Aid fund and organization. So, you know, if you don't have the means to donate yourself, it's definitely worth a listen. And like I said, all the AdSense is going to a notable and established relief fund. But today's episode, oh, hi Vivek, I didn't even acknowledge you. How are you? I'm good.
How are you?
But yeah, so today's episode, I know we're talking about the events that took place at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, this past Tuesday, and I guess we're going to just be having a conversation regarding gun violence and the sort of ongoing debate that this country faces on a national level every year. And yeah, so to start off and sort of give a summary of what happened for those who do not know, school shootings, unfortunately, I mean, extremely, extremely unfortunately, are a very, very common occurrence in the United States. And in fact, I think the CDC came out saying that since 2020, mass school shootings have actually been the number one cause of death in children, which is, you know, again, just a wild reality check of what life in the U.S. is like. It's not as idealistic as I guess it once was, or people would say it was. But anyways, going back to the events at Robb Elementary. So as of now, the suspect that has been named, his name is Salvador Ramos. And so I would say about 2 weeks ago now, as to when we're recording right now, 2 weeks ago on his Instagram story, he posted a picture of a duffel bag full of military grade AR-15s, and he posted that picture on his 18th birthday. And a week later after that, so this past Tuesday, which the date was, do you remember the date?
Well,
just
it
close
is
the calendar, Vivek.
It was the 24th.
So on the morning of the 24th, this young man was in his house, and he I guess decided to play with his new toys, if that would be an apt way to put it. And he shot at his grandmother. I guess he was staying at his grandmother's house, and immediately he fled. He shot his grandmother in her mandible area near her jaw. And thankfully she was conscious enough to quickly call the police and inform them of what had happened. And in the meantime, the gunman, Mr. Ramos, I guess, fled the scene, and he took the car out, and he was met with an accident right outside of Robb Elementary School, like I said, in Uvalde, Texas. And I guess the car was no longer, you know, the engine was off or whatever, and he got out and he went into the school with his duffel bag full of, I think it had three AR-15 rifles, and he took them into the school and immediately started shooting. And although police were on scene within minutes, it took them around an hour to get in, because Ramos had barricaded himself into a classroom and it was virtually dangerous for them to go in. So the first hour they mostly spent their time evacuating children and teachers, but you know, unfortunately 21 people did die in this event due to the gunman's actions. It was 19 kids and two teachers that had passed away due to the events. And eventually you know, as many people could have been evacuated as possible, I believe six officers entered into the classroom that he barricaded himself in, and they shot at Ramos. And no one's really, I don't think there's been much news reported on him specifically, and whether, you know, if that shootout like led to death for him, or what's really going on as far as the information we have right now. But he was shot at, and mostly over the past 5 or 6 days, the conversation has really been about thoughts and prayers for the children and the teachers who lost their lives that day. And yeah, and it definitely sparked a conversation about gun control and gun violence. And I believe that same afternoon or the next afternoon on Wednesday, the NRA was actually already hosting this pre-planned gun convention, and Trump was supposed to be speaking there. And there were many notable musicians that were supposed to be performing at the convention in Texas that the NRA was hosting, but a lot of people backed out considering how insensitive that would be. But the NRA still continued to release statements saying, like, whatever, we're looking over it, it's under review, and it's making these sort of like baseless claims and just saying things that were very insensitive, you know, because it's the same state where all of this other stuff is happening. And for the NRA to come out and make a statement like that, mm-hmm. and not even acknowledge the pain that these parents and these family members have gone through, I don't know. It's crazy, but it's like, I don't expect anything different from this country, from especially that state, from the people that run the state, whether it's the governor, Greg Abbott, whoever else. So yeah, that's sort of what happened. If you want to add anything or get into the debate.
No, sure. Yeah. So, so I think that was the main thing also that people were talking about was related to it. Every time, there is a mass shooting in the U.S., which is, I think they said something like there's been more mass shootings in the U.S. than I think days in 2022.
Yes, there have been 212 mass shootings, and I think today is like, I want to say it hasn't even been 200
something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, that was a huge thing that was talked about, is that, like, you know, just put that in perspective, right? It's an easy way to understand it. There have been that many, and we haven't even, you know, had that many days in 2022. And so every time there is another mass shooting, it kind of takes over the news cycle for a little bit, and people, you know, say these sort of, mainly politicians, say these grand platitudes about, you know, we need to do something about gun legislation. I think even...
Can I, just for a second, I was thinking about this the other day when Biden made his statement, mm-hmm. and he was all like, we need to elect, we need to do this, we need to pass legislation. I felt like in that moment, why does he insist on talking like some Instagram influencer and not like he wields the power of the president of the freaking United States? You realize you're the president, right? Mm. He literally talks like he's some Instagram blogger. Like, right. We need change. This is, you're no longer campaigning anymore. Like, for Christ's sake, we're literally 2 years into your presidency.
I know.
And
halfway. It's not even right at the beginning or anything.
We're 2 years into his presidency. Like, midterms are about to come up soon. And this is where we're at. Mm-hmm. We have a president who's making statements like, oh, my heart goes out for these victims and their families, and we need to do something about this. He's been saying this since the very beginning. When are you going to do something about it?
Right. He even...
And
just,
the other thing, even, like, just going back for 1 second, it's just, like, Democrats are in the majority. He wields all the power, and this is going to change very soon. I mean, there's no way that it's not, given, again, like, right. I said, midterm season is coming up, and they're just sitting idle. They're not doing anything about it.
On Tuesday, after all the news started coming out around 9:30, he tweeted, "As a nation, we must ask, when in God's name will we stand up to the gun lobby?
Oh,
when in God's name will we do what needs to be done? I'm sick and tired of it. We have to act." And it's like, does he think that "we" means like someone else? It's
like, and I hate it. And the sick and tired, you are sick and tired. Where is the empathy for the parents, for the family members, for the grandparents, for the siblings, for the aunts and uncles? Like,
exactly.
You are sick and tired sitting there and reading the news. These are people who have lost their family members, their children, for God's sake. Like, I don't even
right.
know. There's like,
and it's the most frustrating thing also on another level, because it's like, it goes back to that thing that we say all the time of, we worked so hard to get these people into office, right? You know, not just you and me, but royally, like, we did campaigning, we did phone banking, other forms of, like, you know, getting out the vote. And these people got into office and we were like, okay, maybe they might, you know, improve upon something for once in their lives. And they just sit there with their power. It's kind of like that horribly awkward photo that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer took on the Senate floor, kneeling in like kente cloth after like a bunch of you know, a strand of violence from the police against Black people. It's like, why are you kneeling in a photo when you could be, you know, finding a way
to... You're the Speaker of the House. You literally like provide
some sort of
what
thing.
Legislation
yeah.
gets passed. You are the one that gets to pick and choose. Like, you've been given... Going back to that thing of, like, we've elected you and here you are doing nothing. And it's to be 110% frank, we are the only country that operates this way. I was watching an interview that Jacinda Ardern gave. She's the Prime Minister of New Zealand, and she gave an interview to Stephen Colbert right after the mass shooting. And she said, like, here, these are the things that, like, I as an elected official am responsible for. The people elected me. I am the Prime Minister. I think maybe it was her first year, in her first term, there was a mass shooting in a New Zealand mosque, and it was obviously very racially and religiously targeted. And they saw that, and they saw that the reason for it was that people had unbridled access to AR-15s and military style weapons. And so what did they do? They immediately codified it into law and banned those from being produced. Banned the production completely, and they started this buyback program, saying, like, hey, once upon a time this was legal, so I understand that if you can't get rid of your weapons that immediately, then guess what, we will buy those weapons from you as the federal government and we will destroy them. You are not allowed to have access to them. And she said something that was very poignant, which I thought was like, I understand the need for armed weapons. Like, we live in New Zealand. We have wildlife problems. There's a thing called protecting biodiversity. I understand that. And there is a need for weapons, but you do not need assault rifles. You do not need people to have access to assault rifles just walking around the streets. Like, we've seen what that does. We've understood that it's dangerous. We've codified it into law, and we've banned the production of all AR-15s and assault rifles. And it's like, that is what we're asking for. This is not in any way like a monumental threat to your Second Amendment rights. It's not. We are talking about the type of weapons that are causing, or that are the, you know, the root cause or the point source of these mass shootings. And we're saying there needs to be a limit. 100% there needs to be a limit, and there needs to be a certain process, one that's very deliberate in vetting these people. And these are very simple actions that our elected officials could be taking, ones that should have been taken decades ago. And like, again, you clearly see other countries setting an example that works, but we can't seem to do it.
Exactly. And the other thing that, like, liberals and people who, you know, just the whole vote blue, no matter who crowd of people do, is that they say stuff like, you know, oh, well, what can Biden do? Or what can they do in Congress with a gridlocked Congress? But there is, you know, even though you can acknowledge those things, but you also have to acknowledge that there are things that he can do. He can, this should be like, you know, an all hands on deck sort of approach. And I think I read an article the other day that said, like, there are smaller steps that he could take that could help to build up to a bigger, you know, effect too, while Congress battles it out, or while, you know, and even that would help to, you know, give people hope that, oh, look, he is doing something, you know, electing more people to the Congress who agree with this might help move it along. And not even that, even if it helps a little bit, that's better than having, you know, a mass shooting happen every other day, right? So I read an article that said Biden could declare the gun violence a public health crisis, and then he could require his Surgeon General to, like, write up a report that lays out other definitive ways to help reduce gun violence.
There are so many outlets, and it's like any person who has any, even like a touch, like a slight even insight into how government works in the United States would be able to tell you the hundreds of millions of options that Biden has. Like, executive orders, for example, he could easily write one into law. Easily. But he is choosing not to take action, and he is choosing to go on social media and make all these blank statements when that's not what people need. That's not what this country needs. And again, and we've also seen all this sort of like patriotic talk of how like since 2022 has started, London has not had a single mass shooting at all in the past 6 months. Australia has not. Mm. New Zealand has not.
Yeah.
The entire United Kingdom has not faced a single mass shooting this entire year, and yet here we are with 212 mass shootings and counting. And we're hardly 6 months into the year.
Well, and that's exactly that's the scariest part, is that it doesn't, if anything, it seems like the rate of these events is just speeding up, right? It doesn't seem like we're moving in the right direction at all.
And it's like, comparatively, if you were to map out a ratio, these other countries are, I mean, obviously they are smaller in size than we are, but even so, they have, it only took one or two mass shootings, which even that is a lot, there should have been any to begin with, it only took them one or two mass shootings to realize, oh, this is a problem. We cannot afford to lose citizens and people of our country for something something that's so easy to block. You know what I mean? And they took action accordingly. Mm-hmm. Here we are, just in this year, just in 2022 thus far, we have 212 and nothing. Mm. You know, nothing. It's like the same conversation every year.
It's just
pro-guns, anti-guns, and it's like...
And that's all it is, conversation. And then I think yesterday, or rather Wednesday, so the 26th of May, Greg Abbott had his news conference, and he said... I think something along the lines of people think that like you can just implement tougher gun laws and it's going to solve it. And then he said, well, look at Chicago and LA and New York, and they disproved that thesis. But I don't think that's accurate, actually, because in California, I think it was like early 2000s ish. It was an article, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, early 2000s-ish, California had almost the same rate of gun, you know, gun-related deaths as Florida and Texas. And I think it was like California had 9.5 and Florida had 10. But since then, California, since obviously that's a, you know, a liberal stronghold, has tightened its gun laws again and again, and Florida and Texas have moved in the opposite direction. And since 2005, California's rates of gun deaths have declined by 10%, while Texas and Florida have climbed by, I think it was in the high 20s or low 30s-ish percent. So it's not even, you know, the statement is not even accurate.
It's not even that, but how dare he? What kind of audacity does he have to say something that's like, you know, it's not as easy as you think to pass like stricter or anti-gun violence legislation, et cetera, et cetera. Well, then how easy was it for you to pass anti-abortion legislation? You did it in the matter of seconds, like a snap. That's how quick you did that.
For real.
If it was so easy for you to codify that into law, into Texas law, why is it so hard for you to do this? It's excuses. It's just based on what their party platform stands for. And that's the other thing. Mm-hmm. We can go on, and we have in another episode, we can talk about partisanship and bipartisanship for hours and hours on end, but that's not what this is about. It's as simple as you are putting people's health and their lives at risk. And it extends beyond the shooting and physically losing and someone, but what does that do to family members? And mind you, obviously, there's no doubt in my mind that this was racially targeted or motivated. You know what I mean? As most mass shootings these days seem to be. We can talk about last fall and the Asian American hate crime here in Georgia, in Atlanta. Was it Atlanta?
Was Atlanta, yeah.
We can talk about that. Spa. And then there are just countless and countless and countless of these mass shootings have continued to take place. And even when things like this happen, sure, it sparks conversation, but what kind of conversation is it sparking? You just have family members just talking about how, not even family members, you have one side of people just talking about how, like, oh, thoughts and prayers and et cetera, and putting on like little angel emojis or the white dove emojis, and that's what it's about. And then you have organizations like the NRA talking about, no, we need guns. There's nothing even productive in the conversation. there's
It's just two sides, and two sides that are absolutely, you know, pulling in the wrong direction no matter what. So it doesn't really matter that it's not moving anywhere, because
it's not where even would about, it move we're not anyway? Even talking about the right thing. We're
right. And I think that was also the thing. I saw a TikTok the other day that and someone had made a pretty good point, which is that when you have like all these issues, like when you have issues related to like racial injustice and those kind of divides between different racial communities are getting deeper, and then at the very same time you have this increasing, I think even the Supreme Court is about to take on a New York law that they said was a limit on the Second Amendment. So when you have those two issues, you know, converging, that's when it devolves into racial violence. That's when they compound upon each other, and it becomes, you know, just like the Buffalo shooting. I think it was 10 people that were killed by this white man who had written a racist manifesto and had purposefully gone to this black community to kill black people. So it's not even like one issue you can say is physically tangibly more important than the other, because they're all leading to worse things happening. Like, you know what I mean? They're all compounding on each other. And I think then that was the other thing that people were saying, is that, okay, Biden, he put out a tweet the other day talking about, you know, his executive order about reforming policing as a result of George Floyd's murder. And people were saying, okay, well, this is, you know, already a lackluster thing that's coming. I don't even know how long it's been since that happened, but this is already, you know, not a great thing. You're doing something finally, but it's not like this broad strokes thing to reform policing. And then at the same time, you are also actively refusing to do anything about this other equally serious, equally tragic event that happened. And so it's like, where's the whole, you know, the government is supposed to serve us.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had none of that. Again, I know, like, I'm almost glad that we maybe didn't put out episodes the past 3 months, because also just on a personal level, it's been so hard to process. Every day it's a new thing, and it's like, I'm not even feeling helpless, but you just feel like, that's it. They just don't care. They don't care. We're stripping left healthcare left and right. We're encouraging gun violence by not doing anything, by sitting silent and idle. We're doing nothing more than encouraging it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not putting a stop to it. You're not really speaking out against it. You're I don't even know. You're making these empty statements and empty promises about stuff that you very well could take action on, like I keep saying. And as you were saying earlier, it is a very interconnected, very divisive conversation, because yes, at any point you can involve any other thing. Like, you can talk about racial injustice, you could talk about criminal injustice, you could talk about the NRA and the Second Amendment. But also, I was, even before we started recording this, I was talking about having access to mental health facilities. Like, no one is considering, like, sure, again, physically, these weapons have led to the loss of life of 21 people, but also, have we considered the trauma of the other students, what they're going through, how entering school from now on could affect them and impact them for the rest of their lives? These are their classmates, these are their friends, how it is affecting the people, the parents, the trauma that they're going through. Even the shooter himself. Any able-bodied and well-minded 18-year-old would not decide on his birthday to go out of his way to buy military-grade weapons and shoot at his grandmother. It's just, if he had access to mental health facilities, if he had access to rehabilitation, if healthcare was accessible in this country, half of these events wouldn't happen the way they're playing out right now.
And that's the other thing they'll do, is that, you know, they're people are always quick to say, you know, if it's a white shooter, obviously everyone notices how people are quick to say, oh, it's a mental health problem. But it's A, you're not willing to do anything about mental health either. So I don't know what you...
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. We're devolving in terms of healthcare too. You know,
right.
Like, I like to think about the last campaign cycle in 2020 and how Medicare for All or Medicaid for All or health insurance for all in general was such a huge sort of divisive conversation that people were having regarding campaign platforms. And we have completely moved from that. And now it's literally like, are we even going to have any healthcare? Like, literally, that's what it's become. Whether you think about the conversation regarding abortion rights recently to now to mental health access and mental health facilities. It's wild. There's no... It feels it's like just they're the, just it, cutting off every possible point of entry. And it's like the U.S. government is actually making way for these sort of events. Like, that's what I'm saying. By not taking any action, they're actually encouraging this sort of behavior.
Encouraging, yeah. And that's... It's the worst of the worst, especially when you know, it's like they're not even trying to hide. Like, certain people, obviously... certain politicians have been financed by the NRA because that's obviously how, you know, these interest groups work. And it's like they don't even try to hide the fact that they're receiving, like, I think it said Mitt Romney received somewhere like something like $13.6 million from the NRA. And it's like you're not even trying to hide the fact that you are blatantly being influenced by this money.
I saw this poll conducted by the New York Times just this morning, and it was sort of like where Senate Republicans stand on gun legislation. And it's like, even this, why is this still something that's being so heavily debated? Like, again, no one, sure, there are extremists and there are people that are saying this, but there is a compromise that can be reached. And as I was talking about New Zealand earlier too, what I'm saying is no one is here to strip you of your Second Amendment rights. There's a reason that amendment was included in the Constitution by the founding fathers. I can understand to a certain extent that there is a purpose to it, and I can understand that to a certain extent there's a purpose for armed weapons and whatnot, and being armed with weapons, sorry. What we are saying is this sort of weaponry, this sort of like military grade assault rifle should not be accessible to the general public. And if they are, where is the vetting process? How are you background checking these people? You're not, because if a literal 18-year-old without ID can go into a store and purchase an assault rifle, then that just, there you go. That's a clear example that this is an institutional problem. And it's as simple as that. You know, it's like as simple as putting together a deliberate vetting process for these sort of things. And we don't even have that in place. We don't have healthcare options.
Right.
Like how do you expect for this problem to get solved? Do you expect it to get solved by sitting at home and typing out a tweet? That's not going to do anything. And these sort of things, for most parts, they don't even need to be they don't even have to be written into some overarching federal law. If we're not at that point, great. Congress is like the gridlock that's going on and whatever. Even for that, I'm pretty sure we had an episode about the filibuster. There are so many steps that could be taken to make this an easier negotiable process, but no one wants to take those steps. Like, literally our freaking president is sitting duck. And I feel like there's really nothing more to say about it, because it's like...
Right.
It feels so hopeless, and I feel like anyone who's been reading the news feels helpless, because it's like, what can you do? Because the people aren't doing anything. So it's like...
I want to say a New York Times article about, you know, where Senate Republicans stand on gun legislation. And there was obviously...
This is what I just said.
No, listen.
This is the article I was just referencing.
Okay, listen. Okay, in this article, it's so ridiculous to me. I mean, not that this is any surprise or revelatory in any way, because you just said it, and also we have known always. But in the, you know, oppose column for gun legislation, what did Josh Hawley say? He said, "Doesn't it change who also gets the checks?" And I read that, and I was like, "What is he talking about? What checks?" What is he talking about? Is he trying to say that, like, people would buy it on the side? Is he trying to say that who would get the... Is he blatantly saying who would get the funding?
No,
like, what is...
I don't even
understand.
It's... again, it just speaks volumes on how corrupt our system is too, in the fact that these politicians so blatantly get their remuneration from supporting things like pro-gun funds and pro-gun organizations like the NRA and whatnot, and how much of their annual income comes from that and comes from that support that they get. And it's like we're having this internal war, right? Within, like, it's like the government is constantly battling against its people, which is so completely not okay. And we see it every day. We see it every day as our rights continue to be stripped. And it is that intense. Like, it is that bad right now.
Senator, I think it was Ron Johnson. I think he's from Wisconsin. He got on Fox Business today. And he said that school shootings happen because of CRT and liberal indoctrination.
We can, again, this is another thing we can talk about for hours, because I keep seeing people repost things that are like, if you're, you know, if you're against your kid learning about like critical race theory, or if you're against them learning about DEI, or if you're or like having the DEI curriculum integrated in schools, and if you're worried about XYZ, and if you're worried about them reading about gay people and whatnot, like, then, you know, fact, like, reality check, that's not what should be your primary concern. This is what should be your primary concern, and this is what's actually causing your children to lose their lives,
right?
And it's like, you know, every other story that I click on is another post regarding that, and it's just, it's wild the connection these people will make. It's like they'll do anything to protect their policy and to protect their platform. I'm like, but why don't you realize this is not some competition? This is like, this is no longer about any single election and who's going to win and who's going to lose. It's simply about who can best represent people. And trust me, no one wants to die. It's as simple as that. Especially no one wants to die as a victim of a gun shootout. That is, like, you know what I mean? So I don't understand how people are so willing to make these statements that are like, don't blame
me. How can you be that insensitive?
Yeah, don't blame me. It's because of CRT. Don't blame me.
Doesn't make sense, you know, when you're saying it.
I feel like I'm not even doing a good job of, like, articulating how ridiculous it is. And it's like, to be quite honest, neither of us are even allowed to have, or should be allowed to have any feelings regarding this. Like, I think it's stupid to be like, oh, this breaks my heart. It could, and I'm sure, you know, it's a heavy conversation to have, especially considering, you know, you and I are also in school. We also attend regular public high school, and this is something that is very, it's a very plausible event, which is very, very unfortunate, but it's the state of what we're in. But realistically speaking, like, it's not appropriate for anyone to be like, oh, like, my heart goes out or whatever. Like, let's, like, great, do that. But how are you actually supporting what these people need and what these families are, what they need? Like, are you voting? Are you contacting your legislators? Are you, you know, donating to funds that could help go towards relief? Are you doing any of that? It's not enough to just repost a picture, and it is important to say these people's names. It is important to recognize their lives and whatnot. I'm not going to deny that in any way, but it's also important to take action, because that is ultimate, and we always end every episode by saying this, but I'll just say it early, I guess, because that's what leads to change. And we're seeing so little of change these days. It's all, we're just regressing backwards into like a 1700s era society.
I guess you could say that's change in some way.
Yeah. Backwards, though.
For the worst. It's... Yeah. Not great.
Not great.
Not amazing. It's just kind of not
really good. Pathetic, really shitty that these are the way we're treating people in this country. It just goes to show how little the government respects its citizenry. So, yeah, like we were saying, I guess not like we were saying, but, you know, we're very, very aware, and it's a very visible and transparent fact that was quite a devastating and tragic event that took place at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. And I hope throughout the episode, I hope it never came off that, like, it, you know, this was something that's, like, taken for granted, or something that's not that important or whatever else, because it is. It's extremely important. There are 19 school children, elementary school children. I can't even imagine. And it, like, again, this is something that we could talk about for hours and hours and hours on end, and how, like, even things like
Like
doing like lockdown drills, like, think about the trauma, think about the sort of stigma that could entail in a 5, 6, 7, 8 year old. It's wild. I couldn't,
Insane.
yeah, it's, I don't even know how to put it into words, but yeah, I hope we didn't, I mean, we tried our best, definitely, to sort of articulate this conversation in a way that was, not offensive and hopefully not insensitive too. But Vivek, would you like to mention where our AdSense to this episode is going towards?
Sure. I think just as a cap, then finally, all the AdSense from this episode will be given to Moms Demand Action, which is a grassroots contribution that will be made to help fuel the volunteer-driven movement surrounding the idea of a future free from gun violence. So, yeah, that is where all the AdSense is going.
Yep. And I would highly recommend that everyone stays up to date regarding the events of the situation, and just maybe generally from now on, like, be on the lookout and see how you can help. Again, whether it's by mobilizing, especially right now in Georgia, every time I go out on the road, I see like a billion campaign posters and campaign signs. So it's very easy to get involved. Like I said, we're heading into midterms. Yeah,
Very
midterms even.
accessible.
Just if you like research politicians, find out their party platforms. This is what's most important, electing people that seem to at least seem promising and whatnot. It's very easy to phone bank, to volunteer, to donate, to fund. It's very accessible to help out campaigns. So yeah, that's it, I think.